Vapuhu. The supreme enjoyer of all sacrifices accepted the incarnation of a boar. The second incarnation. Second counting in this list. It's not necessarily the second in time sequence. He accepted the incarnation of a boar, the second incarnation, and for the welfare of the earth, he lifted the earth from the nether regions of the universe. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The indication is that for each and every incarnation of the personality of Godhead, the particular function executed is also mentioned. There cannot be any incarnation without a particular function. And such functions are always extraordinary. They are impossible for any living being to perform. The incarnation of the boar was to take the earth out of Pluto's region of filthy matter. Picking up something from a filthy place is done by a boar. And the all-powerful personality of Godhead displayed this wonder to the asuras, who had hidden the earth in such a filthy place. There is nothing impossible for the personality of Godhead. And although he played the part of a boar, by the devotees he is worshipped. Staying always in transcendence. The devotees are staying in transcendence by worshipping the Lord in the form of Varahadev. Today is his appearance day. He didn't appear from a mother and father. The Supreme Lord doesn't always have a mother and father. That's his choice. Lord Varaha appeared from the nostril, the nostril of Lord Brahma. Unusual birth. Avatara hiya sankyeya harir sattva nider dvijaha yata vida sinakulya sada saksyu sahasvashaha. The incarnations of Lord Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his avatars, his pastime descents into this material world are countless. We sang the song about 10, but that's just a chosen list of 10 most popular avatars, most prominent avatars. But actually, the Lord's incarnations are countless. They're an infinite number. There's at least one for every species of life, and then there are even more. There are countless incarnations. Just like a mighty lake is fed by many, many different streams and rivers. You cannot even find all the sources of the lake, a big lake. Why does the Lord do these descents to this world and to the earth and to other planets in the material world? We can speak philosophically what's the reasons for the Lord's avatars. But we should understand that on the highest level, the purpose of these trips to the material world taken by the Supreme Lord are simply his own pleasure and the pleasure of his devotees. That's the first and main reason. The Lord does what he does to enjoy. And he likes to share that enjoyment with his devotees. Swecha mayasya natabhuta mayasya. Certainly, there's no material reason for the Lord's incarnation. There's no karmic obligation or entanglement that the Lord is encumbered by. He doesn't have to take birth. For himself, he doesn't have anything to do with this world. He's perfectly happy, and all his desires and needs are taken care of in his own kingdom. He doesn't have to come here. People leave where they live to go somewhere else on a vacation because there's something missing in their life. They're bored or they're disgusted with where they live. They want to go somewhere else, anywhere else for a vacation. But it's not that the Supreme Lord is tired, bored with, or fed up with Vaikuntha, and he needs a vacation, and therefore he has avatars. Certainly that's not the reason. It's to expand and increase his enjoyment and to share it with his devotees. And he has devotees living in the material world. Some of them are neophyte devotees, some of them are perfect devotees, and some are in between. The perfect devotees could be living in Vaikuntha, but they have service to do in the material world. So they're there also. Just like you have American citizens living in other countries because they have work, they have jobs there. Not because they were kicked out, you know, their citizenship was taken away from them and they were sent into exile. Or not that they rejected their American citizenship, but they have some occupational duty that they have to do in another country. So they're called expatriates. You know, they're still citizens, but they're living in a different place. Like that, some of the Lord's devotees who are fit to live in the spiritual world have some service to do in the material world. The service is usually to give support and guidance to the less advanced devotees and to the materialistic fallen souls, to preach and to give spiritual guidance. The Lord's pure devotees, some of them accept residence in the material world. To give them his association and to show his pastimes, that's another purpose. First, his own pleasure and the pleasure of his devotees, and then to show himself to those who are suffering in his absence. Certainly his pure devotees who have to live in the material world, they're suffering greatly, spiritual pain, not material pain. Pure devotees don't suffer from material pain, but they're suffering spiritually the separation from the Lord. So occasionally he comes down and gives his association. Paritranaya sadhunam. Delivering devotees is not just a matter of killing demons. Demons can be arranged, the killing of demons can be arranged through Krishna's agencies. The material elements can dispose of so many demons easily. Krishna doesn't have to come personally for that. But Paritranaya sadhunam on this higher level means to give his association to his devotees who cannot tolerate his absence in this material world. So for his advanced pure devotees, he gives his loving reciprocations, and he comes down and performs his pleasure pastimes and enjoys exchange. Now, if he just came all by himself and everybody else was just an audience or just not paying attention and he was just doing it himself, then where would the rasa be? Rasa has to be enjoyed as an exchange between the vishaya and the ashraya, between the Lord and the devotee. So the devotees, they're necessary participants in the Lord's lila avatar, is the pleasure pastimes he displays when he comes to this world. He always has some devotee, even if only one, to associate with so that rasa can be experienced and enjoyed. This is a second reason why he comes. And then he kills demons and he establishes religious principles for the benefit of the neophytes. They need to be told what the principles are. And he saves the human race. So many purposes are served by the Lord's avatars. Lord Varaha is one of the 10 most prominent incarnations of the Lord. He actually comes repeatedly. Sometimes he's white, sometimes he's red. Sometimes he kills Hiranyaksha, sometimes he kills somebody else, sometimes he doesn't kill anybody. There are variations on the appearance of Lord Varaha. He delivers the earth. That's the main feature of his appearance, the main pastime that he performs. The earth falls into the ocean covering the bottom of the universe, the Garbhodaka ocean, on which Lord Garbhodakshay Vishnu resides. The earth falls into that water. Garbhadakshaya Vishnu lies on top of the water. But the earth, for various reasons, falls down into the onto the bottom of that water, to the Patala region. And Lord Varaha goes down and delivers her, picks her up. There's a relationship between Lord Varaha and Bhu Devi. He embraces her, and in that way she becomes his wife. Even Narakasura is recognized as the son of Varahadev and Bhu Devi. So Krishna, his devotees remember that he was previously, as his vilas, his pleasure pastime, he was previously Varahadev, and he married Mother Earth at that time. And he takes the form of a wild pig, a forest boar, Vanagotra, a resident of the forest, not even a village pig, but a wild boar. This is what is normally considered a very tamasic creature. The innocent children play with the puppies, but you don't see them playing with the little pigs. They're not at all attracted to the pigs. The pigs are filthy. They live in filth. And they like to shake the filth around. They don't keep it to themselves. And the wild pigs in the forest are dangerous. They can kill you with their tusks. So they're not very attractive creatures. They're ugly. They're dirty. And Lord Vishnu, in this avatar, chooses to take the form of a wild pig, Sukara Rupa. But he's the Supreme Lord. So even in the pig body, he's the most beautiful. And the body of Lord Varaha is recognized by the great sages and demigods as the personal embodiment of all the Vedic sacrifices, and all the ingredients of the sacrifice comprise the body of Lord Varahadev. So those who perform yajñas, fire sacrifices, they worship Lord Varaha in that role. He's the Lord, Yageshwara, the Lord of sacrifice. And we are residents of the earth. It's thanks to Lord Varahadev that we have this planet to live on. It was under the water. He picked it up just like a assuming the nature of a boar. Boars, wild boars, the village pigs like to just, the human beings manage to produce lots of sewage, and especially in places where there isn't a sophisticated sewage systems, the sewage is all over the place. And the pigs like to go into the dirty gutters and wallow around. But in the forest, they go to muddy places and stick their noses in looking for food, insects and whatever. They stick their snouts into the mud. That's a favorite pastime of the wild boars. So, assuming the form of such a creature, Lord Varahadev plunged into the bottom of the ocean, stuck his nose into the mud, and pulled out the earth, and held her on his snout. And then, at least in one of the appearances, he also kills the demon Hiranyaksha, who was looking for someone to fight with. So, we usually on this day read the exciting narration written by Srila Prabhupada in the third canto of the battle between Lord Varahadev and Hiranyaksha. But I'm going to ask Damodar Prabhu to do the reading. Is that okay? Yeah. Okay, so I'll turn the seat over to him. You can sit over here. Yeah.
So it's the fight is covered in two chapters. Actually, the yes. So something like 40 verses. So it's not so long, the two chapters. So the first chapter describes Hiranyaksha's prowess. Maitreya continued, this is chapter 18 of the third canto. The proud and falsely glorious Daitya paid little heed to the words of Varuna. O dear Vidura, he learned from Narada the whereabouts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and hurriedly betook himself to the depths of the ocean. He saw there the all-powerful Personality of Godhead in his boar incarnation, bearing the earth upwards on the ends of his tusks and rubbing him of his splendor with his reddish eyes. The demon laughed, "Oh, an impious beast!" The demon addressed the Lord, "O best of the demigods, dressed in the form of a boar, just hear me. This earth is entrusted to us, the inhabitants of the lower regions, and you cannot take it from my presence and not be heard by me. You rascal, you have been nourished by our enemies to kill us, and you have killed some demons by remaining invisible. O fool, your power is only mystic, so today I shall enliven my kinsmen by killing you." The demon continued, "When you fall dead with your skull smashed by the mass hurled by my arms, the demigods and the sage who offer you oblations and sacrifice and devotional service will also automatically cease to exist like trees without roots." Although the Lord was pained by the shaft-like abusive words of the demon, he bore the pain. But seeing that the earth on the ends of his tusk was frightened, he rose out of the water, just as an elephant emerges with its female companion when assailed by an alligator. The demon, who had golden hair on his head and fearful tusks, gave chase to the Lord while he was rising from the water, even as an alligator would chase an elephant. Roaring like thunder, he said, "Are you not ashamed of running away before a challenging adversary? There is nothing reproachable for shameless creatures." The Lord placed the earth within his sight on the surface of the water and transferred to her his own energy in the form of the ability to float on the water. While the enemy stood looking on, Brahma, the creator of the universe, exalted the Lord, and the other demigods rained flowers on him. The demon, who had the wealth of ornaments, bangles, and beautiful golden armor on his body, chased the Lord from behind with a great mace. The Lord tolerated his piercing heel words, but in order to reply to him, he expressed his terrible anger. The Personality of God had said, "Indeed, we are creatures of the jungle, and we are searching after hunting dogs like you. One who is freed from the entanglement of death has no fear from the loose talk in which you are indulging, for you are bound up by the laws of death. Certainly, we have stolen the charge of the inhabitants of Rasatala and have lost all shame. Although bitten by your powerful mace, I shall stay here in the water for some time because, having created enmity with a powerful enemy, I now have no place to go. You are supposed to be the commander of many foot soldiers, and now you have take prompt steps to overthrow us. Give up all your foolish talk and whip out the cares of your kint and kind by slaying us." Sorry, the English use yours. I'm not so familiar with. One may be proud, and yet he does not deserve a seat in an assembly if he fails to fulfill his promised word. Sri Maitreya said, "The demon, being thus challenged by the Personality of Godhead, became angry and agitated, and he trembled in anger like a challenged cobra. Hissing indignantly, all his senses shaken by wrath, the demon quickly sprang upon the Lord and dealt with him a blow with his powerful mace. The Lord, however, by moving slightly aside, dodged the violent mass blow aimed at his breast by the enemy, just as an accomplished yogi would elude death. The Personality of Godhead now exhibited his anger and rushed to meet the demon, who bit his lip in rage, took up his mace again, and began to repeatedly brandish it about. Then with his mace, the Lord struck the enemy on the right of his brow. But since the demon was expert in fighting, O gentle Viduha, he protected himself by the maneuver of his own mace. In this way, the demon Hiranyaksha and the Lord, the Person of God, struck each other with their huge maces, each in rage in seeking his own victory. There were keen rivalry between the two combatants. Both had sustained injuries on their bodies from the blows of each other's pointed maces, and each grew more and more enraged at the smell of blood on his person. In their eagerness to win, they performed in maneuvers of various kinds, and their contest looked like an encounter between two forceful bulls for the sake of a cow. O descendant of Guru, Brahma, the most independent demigod of the universe, accompanied by his followers, came to see the terrible fight for the sake of the world between the demon and the Person of God, who appeared in the form of a boar. After arriving at the place of combat, Brahma, the leader of thousands of sages and transcendentalists, saw the demon who had attained such an unprecedented power that no one could fight with him. Brahma then addressed Narayan, who was assuming the form of a boar for the first time. Lord Brahma said, "My dear Lord, this demon has proved to be a constant pinprick to the demigods, the brahmanas, the cows, and innocent persons who are spotless and always dependent upon worshipping your lotus feet. He has become a source of fear by unnecessarily harassing them. Since he has attained a boon from me, he has become a demon, always searching for a proper combatant, wandering all over the universe for his infamous purpose." Lord Brahma continued, "My dear Lord, there's no need to play with this serpentine demon, who is always very skilled in conjuring tricks and is arrogant, self-sufficient, and most wicked. My dear Lord, you are infallible. Please kill this sinful demon before the demoniac hour arrives, and he presents another formidable approach of favorable to him. You can kill him by your internal potency without doubt. My Lord, the darkest evening which covers the world is fast approaching. Since you are the soul of all souls, kindly kill him and win victory for the demigods. The auspicious period known as Abhijit, which is most opportune for victory, commence at midday and has all but passed. Therefore, in the interest of your friends, please dispose of this formidable foe quickly. This demon, luckily for us, has come on his own accord to you, his death ordained by you. Therefore, exhibiting your ways, kill him in the duel and establish the worlds in peace." After hearing the words of Brahma, the Creator, which were free from all sinful purposes, and as sweet as nectar, the Lord heartily laughed and accepted his prayer with a glance laden with love. The Lord, who had appeared from the nostril of Brahma, sprang and aimed his mace at the chin of his enemy. The Hiranyaksha demon, who was stalking fearlessly before him, struck by the demon's mace, however, the Lord's mass slipped from his hand and looked splendid as it fell down whirling. This was miraculous, for the mace was blazing wonderfully. Even though the demon had an excellent opportunity to strike his unarmed foe without obstruction, he respected the law of single combat, thereby kindling the fury of the Supreme Lord. As the Lord's mace fell to the ground and a cry of alarm arose from the witnessing crowd of gods and rishis, the Personality of God had acknowledged the demon's love of righteousness and therefore invoked his Sudarshan discus. As the discus began to revolve in the Lord's hands and the Lord contended at close quarters with the chief of his Vaikuntha attendants, who had been born as Hiranyaksha, a Val son of Diti, there issued from every direction strange expressions uttered by those who were witnessing from airplanes. They had no knowledge of the Lord's reality, and they cried, "May victory attend you! Pray dispatch him. Please no more with him. Sorry. Pray dispatch him. Play no more with him. When the demon saw the person of God who had eyes just like lotus petals, standing in position before him, armed with the Sudarshan disc, his senses were overpowered by indignation. He began to hiss like a serpent, and he bit his lip in great resentment. Yeah. He began to hiss like a serpent, and he bit his lip in great resentment. The demon, who had fearful tusks, stared at the person of God as though to burn him. Springing into the air, he aimed his mass at the Lord, exclaiming at the same time, "You're slain!" Oh, saintly Vidura, while his enemy looked on, the Lord in his boar form, the enjoyer of all sacrificial offerings, playfully knocked down the mace with his left foot. Even as it came upon him with the force of a tempest. The Lord then said, "Take up your weapon and try again, eager as you are to conquer me." Challenged in these words, the demon aimed his mass at the Lord and once more loudly roared. When the Lord saw the mace flying toward him, he stood firmly where he was and caught it with the same ease as Garuda, the king of birds, would seize a serpent. His valor thus frustrated, the great demon felt humiliated and was put out of countenance. He was reluctant to take back the mace when it was offered by the personality of God. He now took a trident, which was as rapacious as a flaming fire, and hurled it against the Lord, the enjoyer of all sacrifices, even as one would use penance for malevolent purpose against a holy Brahmana. Hurled by the mighty demon with all his strength, the flying trident shone brightly in the sky. The personality of God, however, tore it to pieces with his discus Sudarshan, which had a sharp-edged rim, even as Indra cut off a wing of Garuda. The demon was enraged when his trident was cut to pieces by the discus of the personality of God. He therefore advanced toward the Lord and, roaring aloud, struck his hard fist against the Lord's broad chest, which bore the mark of Srivatsa. Then he went out of sight. Hit in this manner by the demon, the Lord, who had appeared as the first boar, did not feel the least quaking in any part of his body, any more than an elephant would when struck with the worth of flowers. The demon, however, employed many conjuring tricks against the personality of God, who is the Lord of Yogamaya. At the sight of this, the people were filled with alarm and thought that the dissolution of the universe was near. Fierce winds began to blow from all directions, spreading darkness occasioned by dust and hailstorms. Stones came in volleys from every corner as if thrown by machine guns. The luminaries in outer space disappeared due to the skies being overcast with masses of clouds, which were accompanied by lightning and thunder. The sky rained pus, hair, blood, stool, urine, and bones. O sinless Vidura, mountains discharged weapons of various kinds, and naked demonesses, armed with tridents, appeared with their hair hanging loose. Cruel and savage slogans were uttered by hosts of ruffian yakshas and rakshasas, who all either marched on foot or rode on horses, elephants, or chariots. The Lord, the personal enjoyer of all sacrifice, now discharged his beloved Sudarshan, which was capable of dispersing the magical forces displayed by the demon. At that very moment, a shunder suddenly ran through the heart of Diti, the mother of Hiranyaksha. She recalled the words of her husband Kashyapa, and blood flowed from her breasts. When the demon saw his magic forces dispelled, he once again came into the presence of the personality of God at Keshava, and full of rage, tried to embrace him with his arms to crush him. But to his great amazement, he found the Lord standing outside the circle of his arms. The demon now began to strike the Lord with his hard fists, but Lord Adokshaja slapped him in the root of the ear, even as Indra, the Lord of the Maruts, hit the demon Vritra. Though struck indifferently by the Lord, the conqueror of all, the demon's body began to wheel, his eyeballs plucked out of their sockets, his arms and legs broken, in the air on his head scattered. He fell down dead, like a gigantic tree uprooted by the wind. Aja, Brahma, and others arrived on the spot to see the fearful tusk demon lying on the ground, biting his lip. The glow of his face was yet unfaded, and Brahma admiringly said, "Oh, who can meet such blessed death?" Brahma continued, "He was struck by a forefoot of the Lord, whom yogis, seeking freedom from their unreal material bodies, meditate upon in seclusion, in mystic trance. While gazing on his countenance, this crest jewel of Didi's sons has cast off his mortal qual." While gazing on his countenance, on Lord Vahara's countenance, this crest jewel of Didi's sons has cast off his mortal coral. These two personal assistants of the Supreme Lord, having been cursed, have been destined to take birth in demoniac families. After a few such births, they will return to their own positions. So, sorry, this is long. Yeah, there's a few more verses. The demons address the Lord, "All obeisances unto you." The demigods address the Lord. Sorry. "All obeisances unto you. You are the enjoyer of all sacrifices, and you have assumed the form of a boar in pure goodness for the purpose of maintaining the world. Fortunately for us, this demon, who was a torment to the worlds, has been slain by you, and we too, O Lord, are now at ease in devotion to your lotus feet." Maitreya continued, "After thus killing the most formidable demon Hiranyaksha, the Supreme Lord Hari, the origin of the boar species, returned to his own abode, where there is always an uninterrupted festival. The Lord was praised by all the demigods headed by Brahma." My dear Vidura, I have explained to you the personality of God is coming down as the force, as the firstborn incarnation, and killing in a great fight a demon of unprecedented prowess, as if he were just a plaything. This has been narrated by me, as I heard it from my predecessor, spiritual master. Sri Suta Goswami continued, "My dear Brahmana, Kshata, Vidura, the great devotee of the Lord, achieved transcendental bliss by hearing the narration of the pastimes of the personality of God from the orative source of the sage Maitreya, and he was very pleased. What to speak of hearing the pastimes of the Lord, whose chest is marked with Srivatsa? People may take transcendental pleasure even in hearing of the works and deeds of the devotees whose fame is immortal. The personality of God had delivered the king of the elephants, who was attacked by an alligator and who meditated upon the lotus feet of the Lord. At that time, the female elephants who were accompanying him were crying, and the Lord saved them from the immediate danger. What grateful soul is there who would not render his loving service to such a great master as the personality of God? The Lord can be easily pleased by spotless devotees who resort exclusively to him for protection, though the unrighteous man finds it difficult to propitiate him. O Brahmanas, anyone who hears, chants, and takes pleasure in the wonderful narration of the killing of Hiranyaksha demon by the Lord, who had appeared as the firstborn in order to deliver the world, is at once relieved of the results of sinful activities, even the killing of a Brahmana. This most sacred narrative confers extraordinary merit, wealth, fame, longevity, and all the objects of one's desire. On the field of battle, it promotes the strength of one's vital organs and organs of action. When he listens to it at the last moment of his life, is transferred to the supreme abode of the Lord. O dear Sonaka. Hare Krishna. So that was actually, sorry, something like 60 verses. Okay. It's a Prabhupada uses an English that he usually doesn't use in other parts of the Bhagavatam. Kantarashmi Bhagavatam ki. Lord Varaha ki.